It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You know what? I should have started with my mic unmuted. Salut tout le monde. Hi, everybody. I am Marc Dumont. I am here to talk to you about that amazing, that fun game from the Habs. Hey, it got a little sketchy at the end there, but hey, what can you do? This is a young team. They won't always be dominant, but what I really liked tonight was the play from the top line. We're going to get into all of that because I think we're almost ready to say the top line is a legitimate top line. We don't want to get too rowdy about them because we don't want Leafs fans to hear that Yuri Slavkovsky is playing well. But hey, that's a whole other subject. Salut à tout le monde dans le chat. Hey, everybody. Hi, Trinka. Hi, Claire. How's it going? Hey, Dash. Salut. Josh the Nerds here. Trinka as well. I believe Trizak was asking, will Mac be treating us to his morning voice? No, my voice is a little better. Turns out I caught COVID over the holidays, so I got really, really, really sick yesterday. So that last game, I thought it was my throat. I was all rough because I was having a bit of a rowdy party in the forest after visiting with my godson. But it's because kids are gross and they touch everything. And I spent a lot of time with my awesome godson. And unfortunately, I caught it from him. Feeling a lot better. Don't worry about me. Voice is still a little bit raspy. All right. There's a lot of positives to discuss tonight. There's some less positive things, but before we get into it, first of all, if you could like the chat, that'd be great. Subscribe. But that's not what I want to get into. I want to talk about the PWHL game that happened in Ottawa today. First of all, it's just fantastic to see these elite athletes get their time to shine. We were robbed of so much quality hockey while after the CWHL went down. The PHF was still there as well, but it was never really that, you know, the best of the best. Tonight, we saw a fantastic game between Ottawa and Montreal, and Sophie Bété scoring the overtime goal, which is just perfect because Anne-Sophie Bété might be one of the most underrated players in women's hockey. You know, she was always someone that was thought to be a passenger on Marie-Philippe Poulin's line, but the years where Poulin didn't play, Bété led the team or the league in scoring the CWHL. So it's just great to see her get that opportunity. Over 8,000 fans in Ottawa. 8,000, that's huge. That's the most attendance for a professional women's hockey game. It's going to get beat over the season. You're going to see just great games with stacked rosters. So anyone that hasn't had a chance, make sure to check out the PWHL games. The game tonight was in Ottawa. They're coming back to Verdun, I believe, mid-month. I'd have to check. Tickets are going fast. I believe we're just a handful left. So my strong suggestion, get on it. Go see those fantastic athletes play hockey. And one of the great parts, too, is that they're streaming on YouTube. So if you can't go to the games, you can watch them. I think Ottawa might be my favorite team. Am I allowed to say that on a Game Over Montreal chat? I love Mashmeyer. I love Jenner. That's just a great combination. But as per usual, I believe most people in Montreal will be cheering for a certain Marie-Philippe Poulin, who, by the way, had a penalty shot today, but her Team Canada teammate there, Emily Mashmeyer, made a great save. All right, so, oh, Jean, I'm seeing in the chat, you as well have COVID. Hey, the crazy part is I didn't even think to test until yesterday. I got really, really sick. I was just exhausted. I thought it was because I was tired, but it's really not bad. I have to admit, like, I'm not feeling horrible, headache. Just a little tired. That's all. All right. So Yeah, Kay is mentioning I'm not allowed to cheer against the Fabs, as we used to call them, or Lekanezen, or the Stars. I really want to see Ottawa have a good hockey team, and I don't think the Senators are going to do it anytime soon. So, you know, I still have a soft spot for the Ottawa Senators. Yeah, Emrin Smashmeyer. Jeez, did I just call her Emily Mashmeyer? Sorry, again, very tired. So, let's go back to the game tonight. I want to get everyone's opinion in the chat of how great, everyone's opinion, I'm going to tell you what they think, but I'd like to get your impressions on that top line, because I am seeing a line now that's controlling 70% of the shots every game, 70% of the expected goals. You're seeing all three players play different important roles. Slavkovsky was fantastic tonight on the forecheck particularly. He could have had two more assists on that Jordan Harris goal. Slavkovsky did all the work. And before the Cole Caulfield happy birthday goal, Slavkovsky kept the puck alive. So we're just seeing that top line emerge in front of our eyes, and it's really fun to see. Tonight, I believe the Stars controlled 80% of the shots, roughly. They had way more high danger chances, and the Slavkovsky, Suzuki, Caulfield line still had a dominant performance. So my question to everyone, and I don't want to get too excited here, because we're talking about what? Maybe like it's a drop of water in the bucket for their careers, but do you think we're able to say Montreal has a legitimate top line? Because I know the goals haven't been as quick to come as some expected. Now they're scoring. All three players are playing extremely well. I'll say Nick Suzuki, I think, doesn't get the praise he deserves. Honestly, this is a guy who constantly drives the play, constantly keeps the play alive. I mean, on that Caulfield goal, no one blinked at his no-look back pass to Monahan. That's elite stuff. So Nick Suzuki is a guy that, even though he gets his name on the score sheet, I feel like he doesn't get enough credit. He's one of those guys who does so much great work in the neutral zone to just drive the play, keep the play alive. And, you know, we're really seeing him, in my opinion, emerge as a top-line center this year. All right. Am I a little low? I could be low. I'm looking at Kay. Kay is my producer. My voice was hoarse, so I wanted to keep a little low there just in case. But if I'm too low, just let me know. I'll bring up my volume a little bit. Here, give me 1 second. There you go. All right. 1, 2, 1, 2, test, test. Are we better? Are we looking? Are we sounding good? I don't know if I'm looking good like this, but I'll be sounding good. All right. So to get back to it, I know there's a whole side, Team Tank, that will want to not see games like this, but it's really important for especially Suzuki, to get back on him. He's a guy who hates losing, and I understand it's so easy to say tank, tank, tank. You see Macklin Celebrini, and you're like, geez, wouldn't he look great? You know, I mean, you see him play with Lane Hudson for Boston, and you're like, damn, that would be an elite player, absolutely what the Habs need. But these type of wins, despite getting them further from Celebrini, are important. It's important not only for the team morale, going through a rebuild's rough, very, very rough. But it's also important for guys like Nick Suzuki, who just abhor hating. And Martin Saint-Louis hates hating too. This is a guy who has hates losing too. This is a guy who has not lost a lot in his career. So seeing a guy like Slavkovsky succeed as well, very encouraging. Caulfield off to Schneid officially in scoring. There's a lot of value in winning these type of games, even amidst the rebuild. And I get it. I get it. It's every win's a game further from Celebrini, but I just don't think that, you know, it's realistic to expect them to keep them down the whole season, especially when you have this type of top line. You know, this is the type of thing you really jump on. You ride that horse all the way to town. It wasn't a fantastic game from the rest of the forward lines, and I think that's one of the issues the Habs are going to have to overcome now. Now that we have a good line in place, I will say the rest of the lineup's kind of struggling a little bit. We saw Josh Anderson leave the game tonight, which is unfortunate because he's been scoring. He's scored the most goals, 5-on-5 goals for the Habs in December. So, yeah, he had a rough start to this season, but he was starting to become a pretty potent weapon there recently. So it really looked bad for Josh Anderson. I haven't had a chance to check if anyone can take a look on Twitter to see what the Habs said. I mean, if you can't put pressure on your leg as you're walking down the tunnel, usually a pretty bad sign. All right, so we're not getting Celebrini, Claire says. Yeah, I know. Well, hey, you never know for sure, but it would be fantastic to add another top player, and I think they will. Right? Here's the other part. I hate to be the negative person after a win, but the Habs have a bottom 10 XGF. Like, they control, And tonight's going to make it worse, obviously. They control about 46% of the expected goals. A little higher in shots, a little lower in high danger chances. So the schedule is going to get a little rougher. So they will end up probably losing a bit more down the stretch. But for now, it's fun. You know, you just enjoy these moments. Because again, after a long road trip too, this was a 7-game road trip over the holidays. You want to end those on a good note. They're going to obviously play Buffalo on Thursday. And I'm hoping to see a team that comes out with a little more confidence. You know, tonight, Mike Matheson, bit of a screw up there, but it's a recurring theme where they always get scored on first. So if they can get ahead of the eight ball instead of behind it right off the bat, I think the Habs will be in a much better situation against the Sabres. All right, let's see what the chat is saying for here. Mac might be a bit soft. Yeah, I am. I am a little bit soft there. No, honestly, I am very tired. I'm sorry about all the mistakes I'm making, but I'll try to make fewer mistakes. As Gary Bissot mentioned, Slav was a beast tonight. We're seeing this guy, and I always laugh when the big guys realize, like, oh my God, I'm stronger and bigger than everyone. But Slavkovsky on the forecheck, particularly fantastic. That goal to pressure, or the play to pressure, Esa Lindell. That's what you wanted to see from this guy. And it's different from him because Slavkovsky was never the physical player. Never. He wasn't a guy that was getting, he got into maybe like one fight while playing in Finland, but it wasn't a real fight. So I'm not saying I want him to be a goon, but we're seeing him evolve into a part of his game he didn't necessarily have in the first place, right? So, or maybe he's fine-tuning it. Either way, using his frame, and you have that perfect combination now of a guy driving really hard as the F1, creating turnovers. Then you have Nick Suzuki, who's acting as the catalyst for every play, right? But he's the fantastic playmaker. And you got Cole Caulfield to score. Like, this is one of those lines where you kind of draw it up in your mind. You're like, man, this really makes sense on paper. Now it makes sense on the ice as well. And I will give credit to Martin Saint-Louis for sticking to it. I think the first 7 games or so, they had no 5-on-5 goals. And that's tough. Martin Saint-Louis wants to win. You know, he also has a job in the works, right? He wants to be that next coach to bring the Habs to the next level. And that's not always a guarantee when you're coaching the rebuild. So, yeah, all in all, I think it's just a fantastic, fantastic story for the Habs, that top line. And it's the high danger chances as well. They're really generating a ton of high danger chances. So, to me, all in all, fantastic. All right, yeah. So, everyone's coming in with the COVID stories there. Yeah. I don't know what's going on. I think it was just the holidays again. But also, it probably didn't help that I spent like 48 hours out in the forest. I mean, I built a lot of big fires, but that probably didn't help to push away all the viruses. So let's see here. We got volume is fine. Yeah, Melissa is here. Hey, Melissa, how's it going? You can hear me clearly. Thank you all. Suzuki would get more credit if he was a Francophone. Maybe. Trezak says, I don't know if that's tongue in cheek. I'll say this. I feel like other than the... At first, when he said he'd learned French, which we spoke about this last episode, it's so hard to learn French as an adult. It's really, really hard. On top of being, you know, a top line center and essentially the ambassador for Montreal Canadiens, the best player and the youngest captain in history. So that I actually kind of thought maybe that was a mistake to say he'd learned French. But he's going to get there little bit by little bit. And I actually have to give credit to all the French media for laying off it for a while. We all know the usual suspects that will really needle people because they haven't, you know, they don't speak perfect French. But now we're seeing people really understand that hockey is first. And yes, absolutely. Le français, c'est tellement important. C'est tellement important. But we can't put it before hockey, right? So we're actually seeing a little bit of patience from the French media side and the English media side. Listen, the Anglophones want to hear the captain speak French too in Montreal. It's a point of pride, right? It's directly linked to the culture. So I don't think that has anything to do with it, the language. But I do think that it's because Suzuki's sneaky. Like, he's sneaky good, and his plays don't always show up in the score sheet. He shows up on the score sheet a lot, but not necessarily his plays. Hardcore real star. Does Montembeau start the next game? I mean, first of all, what, Jake Allen has had a pretty good year, I'll say, all things considered. He's a guy who, I know fans don't like him, but he's still top 20 in the league for goals saved above average, goals saved above expected. I don't understand why they haven't traded him yet. From what I heard, it's that Hughes has set a price for his goalie, and he's going to stick to that price. And if he doesn't get it, he's not going to trade a goalie, but you're also at an expiring asset type of situation, right? So maybe by the deadline, they'll end up moving someone. Right now, I just don't understand why they haven't gone out and gotten a fifth-round pick. fourth round pick. Who cares? Make it happen. You know, make it happen, Captain. But Hughes is the guy who's in charge of the Montreal Canadiens. I'm the guy commentating on it on a YouTube channel. So I guess I'll have to give him a little bit of leeway on that one. Yes, Trinka mentions, I love that Justin Barron gets asked questions in French, then answers them in English. Yeah, that's something that I've always found amazing because I do the same thing, right? At home, my parents, my father spoke French and my mom answered in English. So that's always been normal to me. And also, I'm from Ottawa. So, c'est de sauter to one language à l'autre, dans le milieu du sentence, is all really normal pour nous autres. So that's the thing. I love it, and it's a little weird to others, but, you know, I did the same thing with my godson. His mom speaks to him in English. I speak to him in French. So it's a cool way to learn, I'll be honest. It is really cool, and I kind of take it for granted. All right, Frédéric Ouellet, good call. Harris play tonight. Thank you. Because, I'm a little under the weather. I do apologize for not being feeling a little bit better today. But I did notice that Jordan Harris has been excellent since he returned from that injury. And it's good for many reasons. Number one, though, we'll stop trading him. Everybody wants to trade Jordan Harris. Stop trading Jordan Harris. He's a really good defenseman. I understand that he didn't necessarily have the start that we all expected this year. But Jordan Harris might be the smartest guy on the team, first of all. He does have the ability to drive the play forward, and his underlying numbers last year were fantastic. Just absolutely fantastic. So, you know, I wouldn't throw the baby out with the bathwater too quick when it comes to Harris and trading the defenseman. You do want guys of his ilk that kind of plays both ends fairly well to move forward. And I don't think that he's the kind of guy that can ask much on an extension. So I would keep him around. I know everyone's quick to trade. You know, Struble was in the NHL for 3 minutes and everyone traded Jack Eye. But this is a month after and nobody wanted to trade Jack Eye for Alexis Lafreniere, you know? So, like, things move quick. Let's not trade anyone yet. I will get to the goalies. I already talked about trading them, but I'll trade some soon. But defensemen, I wish that everyone would just kind of leave it alone for now. The having too many good defensemen is a good thing, right? So injuries come, as we saw tonight with Josh Anderson. Expect a call-up. But, yeah, health can change in a hurry, and so can performance. So I wouldn't move Justin Harris anytime soon. Yes, there you go. Kay's in the chat saying, stop trading Jordan Harris. Well, I feel like people trade Jordan Harris as a throw-in. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, well, this for this, and hey, let's just toss Jordan Harris on top of it. You know, Jordan Harris isn't a throw-in, in my opinion. He's really just one of those players that I think that coaches also adore because he, again, so smart. He absorbs the information, puts it into play really, really, really effectively. And that's what guys like Martin Saint-Louis love to see. Simon Deschaine mange. Les sénateurs mangent toute une rince. Oh, yeah? Are the Senators losing again? Good. No, I don't want to say good, but I guess I can say good. The only thing that matters is that Montreal beat them twice today. Or no, Montreal got two wins today, but Ottawa lost in the PWHL game. For those, again, that weren't here at the top of the show, you're seeing some intense playoff hockey right off the bat with the PWHL. You're seeing loaded rosters. You're seeing tons of fans. It's a really exciting movement, and I really want everyone, if you can, get on board. Pick your favorite team. Support them. You know, share it all on social media because this is really a great chance for these fantastic elite athletes, and it's not a chance that's held with the sword of Damocles above them, right? Like other years, Mark Walters, who essentially runs the league, multi-billionaire, he owns the Dodgers, money's no issue, so it gives him a little runway, and that's just the amazing part, because most of these women, their whole lives have had to work two jobs on top of hockey, you know, like they'd work as an accountant and then go play hockey. Now, some of them, not all of them, can breathe a little easier and focus on hockey, so it's just a fantastic, fantastic story, and it took so long, and I'm happy for so many people, but especially, I was going to say especially Ottawa, but especially seeing people like Marie-Philippe Poulin and Jenner in Ottawa back on the ice, it's just fantastic to see. So catch a PWHL game as soon as you can. All right, Claire mentions, it's 5-0 Canucks over Sens. What's going on with this, like, Are they just rotten, the Senators? Oh, Kay mentions that I called them Justin Harris. Yeah, sorry. Again, really tired, still sick. I'm going to make so many mistakes tonight. I do apologize. Are the Senators just rotten to the core, though? Like, is there something broken the same way the Leafs are in the playoffs? What's going on with the... what's going on with guys like you have Stutzel, you have like Sanderson throughout the lineup, very high quality. They don't play any defense. I know that's not our job to talk about it right now, but I'm just confused about the Ottawa Senators right now because they should be way ahead of the Habs. Jack Colburn, love the PWHL play so far. Let them hit. How the men do it. They can handle it. Well, yeah, I mean, they could, I'm sure. If you watch a PWHL game, you'll see it's really, really, really intense. There's a lot of, not dirty play. Well, yeah, dirty plays. Maybe not to the point with when the Lemieux twins were playing against Canada, but there's still some rough play. I would say that the most important thing for the PWHL and women's hockey in general is that it's free-flowing. It's that level of skill. It's almost reminiscent of when the Russians played Canada, back in the Summit Series. Just a possession game, which focuses on quick breakouts and smooth skating. So I wouldn't mind the idea of putting hitting in women's hockey. I'm just not sure if it would improve the product. And it's not that they can't handle it, as you mentioned. It's just, I just don't know if it would actually make for a better game right now. So DeSheeran says they play like jerks. I'm gonna censor it. The Senators, Brady Tkachuk, yeah, if he's their leader, you're gonna play like a jerk, sure, but the Senators have too much talent, man. Too much talent to be this bad. Thomas mentions cool shirt. Okay, I stole this from my good friend. I just noticed it. I was, was taking a shower before the game, and he's a DJ, so I ended up stealing his shirt. That's my whole story about that one. Frédéric Ouellet mentions game over Montreal turning into game over Ottawa. Yeah, I mean, game over Montreal. We're still talking about the Montreal team. Sorry, I'm just so excited. I'm just so excited with the PWHL. Honestly, it's really, really cool to see them finally get their chance, Finally get their chance to show what they're worth. Because, again, they're just really, really elite athletes and they deserve credit more than once every 4 years. That's the rough part with them. Every 4 years, we hear all the guys in the media being like, oh, man, we should support this all the time. And then the games roll around and they're not promoting it, anything like that. This year, we're seeing it's really moving with its own momentum. It's got its own great marketing. It's got great financial backing. I really would have wished they would have had logos and team names, but we're past that. It won't matter in 20 years, right? So that's the cool part about the PWHL. Okay, so yeah, they don't have any dentists on their payroll. Trinka mentions, yeah, well, that's also, really smart as well, but they do have health insurance. So here's the cool part about the PWHL. If you look through their CBA, it's really, really good. Like, it's absolutely I wouldn't say perfect CBA, but they have all sorts of benefits. They have retirement funds. They have childcare. They get moving fees. So it's really, really, really good. Alex mentions, watch New York versus Toronto. Yeah, I didn't see that game. I'll be honest. I was sick as a dog there yesterday. So we should, but if again, share all those highlights online, let everyone else know, because everyone that watches it for the first time, they're like, man, this is really good hockey. Yeah, absolutely. It's really, really good hockey. So DeSheeran had a great question, Trzak mentions. Okay, I'll go find DeSheeran's question. Let me see here. Mark. Okay. Mark, how do you feel about the Habs currently in relation to the other rebuilding teams? Ottawa, Buffalo. I know they've been doing it longer, but I feel like we're in the same category. There's two parts to the Canadiens rebuild. I feel like they're a team that will run through a wall for Martin St. Louis and just defy all the odds. But they're also a team tonight that got outchanced like 5-1. They're also a team that's bottom 5 or bottom 10 in expected goals. They're also a team that really only has one line that's working, right? They're a team that may get a lot of points in overtime. They're a team that get a lot of points in the shootout. So I guess I'd say optimistic, but also conscious that basically we're very, very far from being a team, in my opinion, that can compete for a Stanley Cup. You run that game 9 out of 10 times, Dallas wins. It's as simple as that. So I feel they're probably behind Buffalo, especially you're talking about elite players like Tage Thompson and Rasmus Dahlin. Ottawa, again, so confusing. They should be better, right? Hopeful is, I guess, where I'd put it. I put them right behind those guys. But at the same time, Ottawa's been rebuilding for, what, 10 years now? Buffalo's been rebuilding its entire existence. I always joked that Buffalo's the city that God invented to see how far he could push fandom before fans break. And I feel like Buffalo, man, just a cursed city when it comes to sports. So I don't know. I wouldn't be too quick to say they're ahead of them, but I will say this. There's some, once you have that top line rolling, everything else kind of falls in place, right? You have a really exciting crop of defensemen and goaltending. Samuel Montembeau, we haven't really talked about him since he had that extension, but I think he's been playing extremely well. Tonight he was the star of the game, even though the Habs, they won 4-3 and they allowed a couple goals, but without Samuel Montembeau, you know, that game doesn't get that far. So all in all, absolutely entertaining, exciting, hopeful, but aware that things can change in a hurry. Does that work enough? And again, right behind those two. Let's see what else we have here in the chat. Because again, thank you so much for helping me out with the questions. Because as I mentioned at the beginning, not feeling too great today. Caught some COVID over the holidays. But actually, feeling much better now. So I'm glad to be here with you. Thoughts on Anderson's injury? Yeah, okay, Thomas, good point. Here's the thing with Anderson's injury. First of all, look bad. As someone that I used to play a lot of soccer, I used to do a lot of mountain biking and wrestling. Used to. When you can't put any pressure whatsoever, that's a really bad sign. Usually anterior cruciate ligament or the MCL. But either way, I'm going to play internet doctor real quick, Doogie Howser style, and say that Anderson's probably not going to come back for a little stretch. I mean, it's just, you can tell, right? You can tell when the guys can't put any pressure whatsoever. And he was so slow to get to the tunnel. To the point that I was thinking they should have wheelchairs there for stuff like this. I don't get why they drag people up, but that's a whole other subject. We saw it when Rafael Hervé Pinal hit the boards this year and he came back, but then injured for what? You know, has it been a couple months? Either way, when a guy lands like that on the knee and they can't put any pressure, it's a really bad situation. I would say right now, Emil Heinemann comes right back. He clearly deserves it. But there's also another person that deserves it in Laval. And I don't think... Okay, I'm going to let the chat guess who I'm thinking about in Laval. It's not Joshua Roy. It's not Sean Farrell. There's a certain player I'm thinking about in Laval that deserves it more than anyone else.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And those that follow the Rocket will know that he's been very, very good. Actually, I'm going to double check here. Just pretty sure he has an NHL contract. Hold on one second. Okay, here we go. Does not have an NHL contract. Okay, well, there you go. The guy I'm thinking of also doesn't have an NHL contract, so that gives you a little bit of a hint there. No, not Wi-Fi. No, Josh mentions Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi's been playing good. Yulin should get a bigger chance, Trinka. Not Wi-Fi. Puts in place in Ottawa. I'll get to that, Frederick. There you go. Evan got it. And Jack as well. Brandon Gignac. He's been lights out for Laval this year. He's kind of filled in that veteran role, especially when you have guys like... what was a really good score last year that was just there for Anthony Richard, Alex Belzil, they all left. So he's kind of filling in that veteran role. And Gignac has been absolutely great. I really, really like what I see from him. Claire and Jean mentioned Simoneau. He'll get there eventually, maybe. I'm not as sold on him as having the NHL aspirations as other, but I'd like to see him get a chance. Dashirin mentioned Mishak. Mishak's doing better. I'll give him that. And he's actually gained Jean-François Hull's trust a little bit. So that is great news. Josh mentions he wants Wi-Fi back so bad. Yeah. Here's what blows my mind. When they sent him back, they said he needs to work on his defensive game. Arber Jacki has the best defensive numbers of anyone on the blue line, like by far. So, and it's it's really a matter of shutting people down on the rush and limiting high danger chances. No one's done it better than Arbor Jacki this year. Like statistically speaking, full nerd mode, he's been their best defenseman. Now, usage comes into play, right? He's a fourth or a third pairing defenseman, but he's done better than anyone else that was on that third pairing. I really, really would like to see him and Struble in the lineup. Again, you have space for both. They're two different players, right? Struble's actually, his impact is offensive. Gets the puck out quickly, starts the rush. Whereas Jacki shuts down the play, shuts down the rush, and limits the chances. So I know that they both play on the same side, but I'd like to see Arbor Jacki play back in the NHL as soon as possible. And we're seeing guys in the AHL kind of challenge him to fights endlessly, which is, like, he doesn't have to prove his, you know, this is like Joe Frazier there going down to the minors. You don't have to box anyone. But eventually he's going to get on his nerves. He just got into a fight the other day, his first in the AHL. He wasn't really into it. He belongs in the NHL, in my opinion. Honestly, belongs in the NHL. How does Kidney look? Asks Kay. Since there's been a bunch of injuries, he came back. He got his opportunity. Jeez, again, my apologies. Very tired tonight. He got his opportunity when four or five guys got injured, and he looked very, very good. Now, I'm going to do this. I'm going to live check to see what Kidney, how he's doing recently in terms of points. But I like that when he started, he was really avoiding the front of the net. When he finally got back into the lineup, he was going directly toward the net. So, hey, look at that. He's, what is he? I just looked at, oh no, I'm still looking at Brandon Gignac's numbers. I was going to say, he's been really good. No, where's Kidney? Give me one second here. This is the kind of high-end preparation everyone loves. Okay, yeah, so he's cooled down since his uptick. But when he got his opportunity, which again, it's all about minutes, he did look very good. So Kidney's still that B-plus prospect. He'll need time. Give him 2 years, 3 years in the AHL. No, that's going to be his best bet. Also, something we didn't need to mention tonight, and Kay, I actually blame you that I haven't mentioned yet, was Caden Gooley looked very, very good. But I'm going to actually take the attention right away from him. Michael Pezzetta also looked very good, and he was probably the main reason that Gooley scored. So I love what I'm seeing from Michael Pezzetta, especially tonight. You know, you need that guy to bring that energy, and he was flying out there. So every 5 or 10 games, you're going to get a game where Michael Pezzetta just looks really dominant, and that was tonight. Ian Boivin, hey Ian, how's it going, buddy? Just another let Roy Cook and Laval test for the Habs front office. Yeah, well, that's the other part that I've been impressed with the Habs, because, you know, I've been critical about Juraj Slafkovský. It's working out now. It took a long time, but just the lack of adjustments or the lack of patience, you know, throw him into the NHL right away. Joshua Roy, they are lock, stock, not bringing him up, which usually, it's funny because I'd be the person complaining, right? I'd be the guy saying, like, man, he's doing really good. We want him to keep doing good. Dominate. We want to get him dominate in the AHL, and then you bring him up. There's no point in bringing him up early. I don't think it would help his development either. If there is a spot in the top six, though, maybe. But for now, Joshua Roy just playing well, and that's what you want. That's what you want to see from your top prospect, right? Jean Small mentions there's 8 hits from Pez Dispenser. Yeah, and I don't want to massacre his name, but he went after Big Boy on the Dallas Stars. Michael Pezzetta is afraid of nothing. Like, he's the kind of guy that, you know, if you're in Marvel Universe, he would run right up to the Hulk. He'd get smashed, just like Loki, but Pezzetta would have no issue, and then he'd get back up and do it again, right? So, yeah, I'm a fan of him, not just because he's really, really intense on the ice, but he's also a really nice guy. If ever you get a chance to interact with Michael Pezzetta, he's top-notch dude. And also, this is important, he doesn't put pineapple on his pizza. I mean, that's all I have to say, right? Because I really don't trust people that put pineapple on their pizza. It's a thing. I'm sorry. Yeah, so Dasherin mentions, and again, thank you to everyone in the chat. If you can go ahead and like the chat and subscribe. Dasherin mentions it's been generally accepted that this year was the year for Suzuki to show he has more to give this team a top line. He has top line star potential. How do we feel now that we're halfway through? Well, hey, Dash, I will say about 5 or 6 games ago, I was thinking, man, if Anderson capitalized on all the chances, if Slafkovský capitalized on all the chances, Caulfield, all the players that played on the top line, Suzuki would have a lot more points. Let's be perfectly honest. Now, it's kind of, to me, he's kind of emerging as a Saku Koivu. And some people may roll their eyes at that, but Saku Koivu, before his knee injury, was a really, really great center. I will say that Suzuki probably better in transition and a little bit better defensively, but in my opinion, he's a top-line center. He's every single night, he's facing the other team's top opponents, and he's doing quite well. His numbers had cratered the last couple of years, but now they're back over. I mean, he's controlling over 60% of the expected goals this year, I believe. You know, so that's, you can't go wrong when your captain is leading the way, in my opinion. Okay, so Josh mentions Hawaiian pizza was invented in Canada. How dare you, Mark? Yeah, I mean, they also did the MK Ultra testing in Canada too, and I don't endorse what the CIA does. You know, I mean, yeah, okay, that was a stretch. That was a stretch, but it's the weird part with pineapples. I love sweet and sour. Don't get me wrong. They're sweet and salty. It's just that the pineapple acidity, I swear to God, is the most powerful thing in the world. Like, if you want to replace a tile in your bathroom, just put a little pineapple juice on there, and it as soon as it touches anything, it just pollutes it. It's kind of like, I also hate tomatoes, though. I love pineapples, just not on pizza, but tomatoes, same thing. It touches anything, ruined. Absolutely ruined. Thomas also mentions, so would Slav. Caulfield's lack of usual finish has reduced the top line's points. Yeah, I'd guess to a certain extent, but you mean, who are you gonna replace him with, right? This is the other part that we may be ignored with Caulfield. We talked about his growth. He had a really significant injury this summer, and I think we're seeing the recovery probably to get back to peak shape. And that's the difference between an elite goal scorer and a goal scorer, is that little bit of extra juice there. And we're seeing Caulfield finally get back on it. I thought the other night, I mean, he scored when Suzuki pressured, was it Stamkos? But he could have had more goals there. He could have had Vasilevsky, made a great save. So he'll get there. Caulfield will get there. I'm not too worried. His shooting rate is great. Right now, he's just that timing. That timing's not quite there. Oh no, Andrew pipes in. Pineapple's good on pizza. Oh my God. Jeez, am I getting out pineappled on my own stream? That's terrible. Okay, no, there has to be some people like me that hate, and I love almost I hate almost no food whatsoever, as you can see. But pineapple and pizza, man, I'll take pineapple. Pizza. Together, terrible. It's like, I like horses. I like radish. Together, horseradish, not so good. It's science. Oh, hey, Andrew is new. Thanks for joining the chat, buddy. How's it going? Suzuki, Evan mentions, Evan's been in a lot of chats this year, is becoming what we wanted Dano to be. He's not quite there defensively, I don't think, and that's fine, but we're seeing another cerebral player, right? Like, that was Dano's greatest asset that he could anticipate. His vision was fantastic, and in that line, though, the biggest difference to me is that when Dano, Tatar, and Gallagher were dominating, it was Tatar doing all the work in the neutral zone. I think we're seeing the center do all the work, which is actually, you know, freeing up his wingers a little bit. So when you're doing the work in the neutral zone, your F1, which is usually Slafkovský, has the liberty to really drive deep on the forecheck and get really, really, really active. And we're seeing, I mean, Slafkovský, again, what, he only had, did he only have 1 point tonight? Either way, he should have had three. He created the turnover that essentially led to the Harris goal. He also kept the play alive for the Caulfield goal. So we're going to see, you know, just a guy that's starting to really find his groove, and the points will start coming. It's really exciting. It's really, really exciting for the Canadians. And it's not just bullshit. Like, they're not just scoring due to skill. They controlled almost 60% of the expected goals together, 60% of the shots. That's fantastic, because the Habs don't control that many shots. They don't control that many high danger chances. So we're seeing them really defy the odds right now. And I think that's just the most exciting thing. Frederick mentions Game Over Montreal turning into Game Over Foodie. Yeah, absolutely. No problem. That's the only other thing I love in my life is food. Up to three times a day, sometimes more. Yeah. Although, you know what's crazy? Has anyone tried the Doritos Spicy? Because there used to be another Doritos Spicy, which I loved. They weren't spicy. And I love spicy food, okay? You know, after Andrew did the hot ones with Adam, I went over to his place and I took the number 10, and I was like dousing my tacos with it. Like, I love spicy food. But these Doritos, I don't know what kind of science gone wrong spice they're putting on them. They blew my mind. They were actually really, really hot. And usually, especially in Canada, you know, they'll say like, oh, it's a super hot chicken burger. And you taste it and you're like, what is that? Tomato? But those chips, those Doritos are like the most mouth-burning food you will ever get. So I just wanted to throw that out there. Shout out to the Doritos people. Because I hadn't had Doritos in a long time. I had them yesterday because I just wasn't feeling good. And they absolutely ripped my mouth apart. Okay, so, oh, and people are getting to fights for the pizza now in the chat. Oh, Jasma, mangoes and clementines suck. I just literally just ate a clementine before coming on the air. I challenge you to a duel, good sir. Mangoes are amazing. And there's so many people that don't know. But get the Adolfo, I believe is the name, the yellow ones. Everyone gets the Tommy Atkins, the red and green ones. Terrible. Those are decoy mangoes. Those are just the mangoes they send up here because we don't know any better, okay? But the proper mangoes, Adolfo, are the ones that you want to get, and they're so amazing. They are just delicious. And if I ever hear you slander clementines again, I'm gonna ban them right now. Let me see here. Can I ban Jean? Oh, I can't ban Jean. But next time, I will absolutely say you are gone. You're gone, buddy. Dashrin mentions, I've been saying that all year. I think he came back and his shoulder wasn't 100% back. Yeah, that really did seem to be the case with Cole Caulfield. Just the timing, man. It's the mechanics. Like, you're off by a quarter second, you know, and it changes everything. We saw Tim Turk at the beginning of the year. He came on with us and he was saying, you know, just the half-second delay on your mechanics, and the goalie has that save. So I think we're really seeing him get his timing back. That's what's the most exciting part about Cole Caulfield. Yeah, Josh is asking for a spin-off show about food. Well, we also got asked about a PWHL stream, which I'd love to do. I mean, I'd also love to give the opportunity for people that maybe haven't had the chance to jump on these streams and host them as well, but I'd love to participate in those. So we'll see where we're going. Yeah, and Melissa mentions this, a fresh mango while chilling on the beach, a dream. Yeah, man, that's absolutely the best. I can't believe there's people who hate mango, though. You just haven't mangoed right. You got to mango right. Once you mango right, you'll never mango wrong again. Okay, I'm getting a little tired, and I think we're just about to... okay, there you go. South Asian woman, you have to defend mangoes with your life. I agree. And I was reading last year, I think it was India, they're saying there's too many mangoes. They couldn't get them out at time, and I almost planned a trip to go grab some. My dream is being surrounded by mango trees. Like there's absolutely nothing that would be better than that. Maybe like a bourbon tree, like a bourbon and mango tree together. Absolutely fantastic. Okay, Kay asks, and we're going to get back to hockey, and then I think we're going to wrap it up. If you have any questions, don't hesitate, throw them in the chat, and make sure to like the chat and subscribe. Sorry to ask again. I'm super curious. I wasn't around during the Koivu era, so I'm not sure what you mean about him and Suzuki. That absolutely fair. The reason I liken him to Koivu, both smart players, okay? Both were able to anticipate well. Both were able to drive the play well. Both were defensively responsible. But neither, in my opinion, have that elite level of talent to really get to like the 100-point mark. That's fine. If you have a guy that's dominating and controlling most of the play as your top-line center, and I know anyone that goes back to those days will say Koivu wasn't a top-line center. He was until he got injured. Obviously, that got worse. But even after that, he was top 30 for scoring. So he was. He finished 10th overall in Montreal Canadiens history for scoring. So he was really good. But I think what I mean by that is you have a guy that no matter what, every single game will be doing the right play. So you know when things go haywire, kind of like tonight. Honestly, Dallas had the better game, much better game. But Suzuki was there to drive the play and keep them, really focused on the task at hand. Obviously, being a captain as well. That is another reason I compare them. But I feel like it's their cerebral approach to the game that, that really makes them very, very similar. And I really think it's a compliment, though, because I know every time I mention Koivu, people kind of pull back a bit. But Koivu was a really good player. He was a really, really good player. And also the other part is that Koivu was surrounded by mediocrity. Okay. I remember, was it Petrov? But one year he was coming into camp and I believe he was lined up with Oleg Petrov. Who, I mean, pretty good, but still. And Brian Savage, or was it Bury? Was it the worst Bury? Either way, it might have been Valerie Bury, but Koivu was saying, man, this is the best line I've had, you know, in my career. Going into camp, which is a little bit, it tells the story of how, you know, when you really talk about the worst Habs teams of all time there, you're going to have to go back around that era. The early 2000s was just bad. Oh, Jan Boulis, that's another one, Jean. Yeah, well, first of all, Jan Boulis scored 4 goals, but he was another one that, he was expected to do a lot more, and he never quite got to that point. But he did score 4 goals against Philly. So, yeah, as Trinka mentions, they had nothing when they had Koivu. It was really, really bad. And I remember at one point I put something on Twitter. I was like, man, imagine if Koivu had anything other than terrible teammates. And Mike Johnson quickly replied, and he's like, thanks, buddy. But I'm going to say it, Johnson could have done better. Johnson could have done better. And sorry, I don't want to besmirch Oleg Petrov too much, but I don't know if he was your long-term first-line center. All right. Hey, Brian Bellows is a legend. Absolutely. And if you ever want to see the worst chirping ever, the most aggressive, Google Brian Bellows getting chirped from the bench. Just absolutely terrible. He's just getting ripped apart. And Koivu and Price had similar issues with teammates. Yeah, well, that's a really good point there by Salt then. They weren't surrounded by much talent. But this time around, the good part about Nick Suzuki is that there's more talent coming through. Instead of Chad Kilger, or, I mean, I can go through the first-round picks there, the Schwinals of the world, you have legitimate talent coming up. And I think you can really insulate Koivu well, or Suzuki well, and focus on his positives so that he doesn't have to lead the charge constantly. All right, I think what are we at here? You've all been standing me for more than 40 minutes. I do appreciate it. If there's anything, if you have any other questions, Frédéric, you asked, this is a really good question. What is your favorite sin place in Ottawa, I believe you asked over there, or was it Gatineau? Either way, I'm going to say the same thing. It is Fritomania on St. Joseph in Orleans. And it's this amazing man who came from Vietnam when he was very, very young. Absolutely just did a great job with the local dish. You know, it's a dish that comes from my French-Canadian ethnicity. And absolutely, I'm so happy that he nailed it. He has the thickest gravy. It's so thick. It's like, do you ever take a blizzard and you flip it upside down? Remember how they used to test it? That's that poutine. Peanut oil-based. So, you know, watch for the allergies, but it's really, really good. The fries are fresh cut there. And he keeps his curds, which are Saint-Albert, the best one. Sorry, Quebec, but Saint-Albert, Ontario has the best curds. Slightly chilled, not cold. But that way, when they're in your poutine and you're halfway through, it doesn't become this mess of a soup. You still have curds. So, God, I didn't get one this summer. Now I want a Fritomania. If anyone could get me a Fritomania, I would absolutely love it. Seriously, they're so good. It's this little shack on Saint-Joseph. I promise you, you will never have a better poutine in your life. It's one of the reasons that Ottawa has a strong poutine game is all the chip trucks. We don't have those in Montreal, but I'm telling you, chip trucks are where it's at for straight best poutine. All right, thank you all. Oh, yes, as they all mentioned, I always do that, eh? Five times I say, I'm going to wrap it all up and then I keep going. Please like the stream. Make sure to come back on Thursday. We're going to be facing the Sabres. I'll be feeling a little bit better there. I do apologize again. I made 50 mistakes tonight, but I'll get some sleep tonight and I'll feel a little bit better. Once again, thank you all to our amazing, amazing community of fans. Again, I didn't book anyone because I knew I could rely on the fans tonight to be the co-host. So for everyone that's listening on the podcast, we appreciate you as well. But I really, really, hey, Brady's here. And we really, really do appreciate everyone that joined in on the fun today. All right. That is it. That is all. Thank you, Kay. Thank you, Dash. Thank you, Trinka. Thank you, Claire. Thank you, Salt. And there's a bunch of new people. Jean was in the chat as per usual. Frédéric was in the chat as per usual. We really had and Andrew joined us. Melissa was here. So we had a really fun chat tonight. And I do appreciate all of you. Much love. We'll see you on Thursday when the Habs face the Montreal Canadiens. And I promise I'll get a little bit of sleep between then and... I'm going to stop one last time. I was almost done. Do we get an Owen Beck game over appearance? I'm going to give him a little space. I'm going to give Owen Beck a little space. And we're going to see how he goes. If the play picks up in the OHL, maybe. For now, I don't want to bug him. Fair enough. Canada went through a rough loss, so I don't really, really don't want to put any more on his plate. All right, that's it. That's all. It's time for me to mango, and I'll see you on Thursday. And as per usual, we'll finish it the same way as we always do. Bye, Claire.